the Sheni Lamalchus, the second to the king, the viceroy, sets out on his journey. That's what we're up to. He searched for her very much for a very long time until he found her. And then Rabbi Nachman says again that the Sheni Lamalchus traveled back and forth for a long time. Back and forth, ana va'ana. Back and forth for a long time. Through deserts, fields, and forests. And Nachama, he searched for the princess for a very long time. The emphasis here on the Sheni Lamalchus in the Lashon HaKodesh of the story, Vayahailech Ana Va'ana, Ana Va'ana. Here it says in the English, traveled back and forth, which would be more accurate in Hebrew that he was Naiseya, but it's Vahalach Ana Va'ana. The Shem Lamalchus went searching for the princess, for the lost princess, for the Neshama, for Malchus, for the Shechina, for Amuna, for Tefillah. He went searching Nahalach Ana Va'ana. This word of Lalechas, of going, that is emphasized here over and over, as the Benachman is saying, is that the Yesod in the life of a Jew, which is explained in many of the Svarim, is that he should be a Hailech. That he should be a Hailech. That the Yesod of a Jew is not to stand in one place, not to stand still. The nature of a person is when a person feels that all is lost, a person feels that, starts to think, how am I ever going to find the lost princess? I mean, it's a big world out there. And there's a part of, this huge part of myself that's missing, princess that's lost. So the person, what many people do is that they stop going. You see this keseda, even in a Gashmius, in the level of Gashmius, we see this keseda. You see this, unfortunately, all the time. You have where there's a husband and wife who are married for many years, and nebuch, then one passes away. And then the other one is no longer able to be a hailech, is not able to go anymore, to go. And ruchnius, and gashmius, the disappointments of life. What Rav Nachman is saying over here again, halach ana va'ana, and then again, nochamal again, he traveled back and forth. Rav Nachman says that the beginning of every Yeshua is with that word, lalechus, knowing, the gate. You don't sit still. You don't allow yourself to be paralyzed, but to move. And what the results will be of that halicha, that's obviously not in a person's hands. What is in a person's hands is to be a hailech. And therefore we see that the beginning of Knesset Yisrael, the beginning of our life, was with the words Lech Lecha. It's the first thing that the Baruch Shalom told Avraham Avinu. The first thing that the Baruch Shalom told Avraham Avinu is Lech Lecha. Okay, go. Go. That a person has to do something. You have to do something. And that's the beginning of the Yeshua. Yiyeh Mashiyiyeh. What will come out and how the results will turn out? But the Iker is to go. And Avraham Avinu didn't know either where. How, what, where am I going? He didn't know. But a person shouldn't stay in one place. This is, of course, one of the big limudim of Tu B'Shvat. Everything here is Tu B'Shvat that we're going to learn now. But one of the big limudim of Tu B'Shvat is that the Yontiv of Tu B'Shvat, the Yontiv of Tu B'Shvat is not for when we have the fruit. When we have a Yontiv of Shavuos, the Yontiv of Tu B'Shvat is not when we have the fruit. It's when the tree has decided, if a tree could think, that there's such a thing in nature that Hashem's Baruch made in the world, It's when the tree has decided, you know what, I'm not going to stand still anymore. I have to get back to life. I have to start moving. Chazal had a Kabbalah that, as I mentioned this morning, that the sorrow, that the sap begins to move. Meaning that the tree says on Tu B'Shvat, the tree saying on Tu B'Shvat, Ad Kan, one more winter. I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I don't know what's going to be the end. The tree certainly doesn't say, how am I going to have, from this lech lecha that I'm making, how are they going to be apples or pears or something? How's it going to be an orange coming from this? It's freezing cold and there's not a leaf on the tree. There's no garnish, and it's too cold. And everybody says you can't. There's no such thing. Listen, you don't live in Florida. You can't have any fruit over here. It's cold. It's nothing. It can't be. So the tree has been paralyzed after the terrible tragedy that it experienced at the end of the season, and it lost all of its leaves and all of the fruits and everything fell, and it became over a bottle. So the tree has in it this rotzen just as to be still. And to just passively allow this deathly state to continue. But the Yontif of Tu B'Shvat is not that the fruits are finished, because the emphasis is that how the fruits come out, that's not up to you. That's not up to to you, how the fruits come out. And we're not even making a Yontif over the rainy season. It's not a yontif for the rainy season. It's a yontif for when the tree absorbs that rain and says that I'm going to do whatever I can to revive myself. To go. And the whole yontif of Tu B'Shvat is not eitzah. That the eitz has to engage in that world of lech lecha, of v'hayalich ana v'ana, v'hayalich ana v'ana. And Rabbi Nachman emphasizes here that it takes such a long time. He says this again. He says it twice. Rabbi Nachman is very, very medayik, of course, in every word. And when he says that the Shem HaMachos traveled back and forth for a long time through deserts, fields, and forests, which we'll talk about in a second, it's also, obviously, it's all Tu B'Shvat. He went back and forth for a long time through deserts, fields, and forests. He searched for the princess for a very long time. Again, traveled back and forth for a long time. He searched for the princess for a very long time. Why does it take so long? If a person wants, there's a cheshik. So why did Hashem Baruch make it in the world, make it such a way in the world that it takes a very long time? And that's especially hard for people like ourselves that we're not used to being patient and waiting. If somebody gets a computer and the computer doesn't, and it doesn't have any has the reception, I know that they have special words for how it is on the computer. I'm using still from radio and television. But if it takes a long time till it you press the button and then it has the till it clicks in with the internet or with all. So every couple of years a person has to upgrade it. What a few years ago would have seemed like supersonic speed, nowadays a person gives a patch to the computer and says, "What's the matter with you? You're so slow." And they'll say on the radio that how fast the it connects or something. And that's the whole teva of the world that we're living in. The Baruch Shalom made it in such a way, like Ibn Achman says, he traveled, he went back and forth for a long time. He searched for the princess for a very long time. Why is that? That's the hardest thing. Why is that? Until you finally got up the courage, and you finally pulled some sap back into your life, and to say, you know, I'm gonna look for the lost princess. So then it takes a very long time. It doesn't seem so fair. It doesn't seem so nice. It takes a very long time. A lot of the chevra just says, forget it. And they turn back they sink back into the coldness of the earth and finished. And there's some trees that they make it to the spring, and there are other trees that just the chlal vegetables are of weak spirit. Vegetables don't have much kaiches. So why is that? That it takes such a long time? So kaidem kol, it's a very very big limud here. The svarim explain every single thing here. Everything here is filled with a very practical hadracha for each and every one of us. So why is that? That takes a long time. It's a tremendous chus to be together with the Bas Melech. We take it for granted that it's coming to us. That a person is emuna, and that there should be in his life a hashros, a shechina, and so on. It's a tremendous schus that the story began that the Bas Melech, the king, was mishtashay with the Bas Melech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was together with the Bas Melech, and they were enjoying each other's company. That you and I should enjoy the company of the Melech, Malachi HaMelech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a simple thing. It's the person stops and asks, am I worthy to be mishtasheya with the king, to delight together with the king, taking into account all the things in my life that I've done wrong and the things that I haven't done right, all of that. The whole inyan of going back and forth, Rotsa Veshoiv, and passing through deserts, fields, and forests, and searching for a very long, very, very long time, is because we don't understand that the ikas chus that a yid has in this world, to be mishtasheya im ha-melech, to have a relationship with the king, that the king should delight in us, the ikar is not really finding the lost princess. The ikar is searching for the lost princess. The ikar is looking for the lost princess. That's why the story really doesn't have anything about finding the lost princess. It's always searching. And the way that the story ends is like, at the end you feel like, oh, we'd like to hear like the sequel, the lost, the found princess, and like how things work out, and you know. So Rabbi Nachman doesn't go into it. Because the tachlis of our lives is anah v'anah, lots of ashayv, searching. Because the ikas chus that a yid has to be mishtasheyach in melech malach and melechim, to delight in the presence of the king, of all kings, the ikas chus that a yid has is because of his kisuf and his longing, and because of his wanting, and because of his searching. That's the ikas chus that a yid has. The story is a story of searching. It's not a story of finding. And even though it's very frustrating to our modern sensibilities, but in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing that's more precious than when a person is in action, when the tree has to break through the cold surface, it's freezing cold. You go outside, these are the first few cold days now. You go outside, they're already there. It's starting, once it's freezing for 2 or 3 days, you feel how the ground is hard. It's hard. It's not like it was last week, 2 weeks ago. It's already, it's hard. And it's for a tree to have the kaiches, you know, for the tree to have the kaiches to push its way through, to make its way through, and to have his iris. It's a very hard thing. It has to have big akshanas. It has to be very, very stubborn. And that's all anah v'anah, ha'ilach anah v'anah. And it takes a very long time. And it's davke that when the Baruch Shalom sees that a person is trying for a long time, he's trying for a long time, and even though there are setbacks and failures, and it's hard, the person gets up and he starts again. That itself is ma'ir rachamim. That itself that arouses great, great ahava, great love and great compassion above. That itself does that. You see that there's a child that's trying to be good. You see that there's, it's like the ik is that it's ma'ir rachman in a parent. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our kisufim, and that, as Rabbi Nachman says over here, over and again and again, Hoylach Zman Rav, he went a long time. So that itself creates a schus, that the person should be zeichet to be back with the king. It's the searching that creates the schus, that a person should be able to be with the king. It's not because of your madregas, or the madregas that a person reaches, and sof kol sof, what a person's able to attain in this world. Different kaiches and madregas and neshamas and so on, but the ikur in the life of a Jew is the hayhalach ana va'ana, back and forth, hayhalach zman rav, for a long time. That's the ikur. Then Menachem says that traveling through the desert, he says, yes, rather, for a long time through deserts, fields, and forests. So let's talk for a minute about deserts, fields, and forests. It's obviously a very deep thing that Rabbi Nachman specifies these three worlds, deserts, fields, and forests. And this is the talk you talk about for a long time, but just very much bekitzer. To travel through a desert, and these parashiyos where Bnei Yisrael are in the desert, and Chazal of course spent a great deal of time talking about why did the Bnei Yisrael take us through a desert, and why was the Torah given in the desert? It's the parasha of Kabbalah, the Torah. Why is the Torah given in the desert? And the ikkah that comes out from all of the Svarim, from the Maral and Svasemis and all of the Svarim, is that the desert means that realization that a person has of delay slim agame klum, that I have nothing on my own. This is connected to what I was saying a minute ago. The desert is a place of desolation. There's nothing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, he didn't bring us directly into Eretz Yisrael. We didn't go straight from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Why it happened, how it happened, however it happened. But the Baruch Hashem didn't take us from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. In between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, there's that place that's not a place in between, and it's called the Midbar, it's called the desert. And the Torah tells us it's a place of Nechashim and Akrabim, snakes and scorpions, and there's no water and there's all kinds of problems. It's the Midbar. In our Avodas Hashem, what that means is that when a person first thinks of leaving Mitzrayim, he first decides that he's going to break through the winter, through the hardness of the earth, and he's going to try to leave that prison of Mitzrayim, of the Mitzrayim, of the narrowness and the paralysis that he's been stuck in. When the person first makes up his mind to do that, so the beginning, just like when we left Mitzrayim, there was excitement. There's a lot of excitement, and we left with a big tumult and all kinds of nisim and flows. That breakthrough was very, very exciting. So then the next thing is we're going to come to El Hamanuch El Hanach, we're going to come to Yerushalayim. Then we're going to go from excitement to excitement, from one level to a higher level of excitement, and we're on a roll. And we're going to go from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to go straight and build a Beis HaMikdash, and so everything's good. But even though the person would love to see that in his own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim, when he finally gets out of that prison of Meichen the Kapas, of smallness and pettiness and narishkeit and all the other stuff, and the Yetzer Hara, he finally gets out of Mitzrayim. So he expects that now everything's going to go, from here on, everything's going to be gewaldig. And it's so disheartening for the person. Any Baal Tshuva will share this, even as far as from people, meaning people who were raised in from homes, if they don't share it, it's because they're usually not as open with their feelings. And if they do, that might be one reason, because they're not telling you how they have felt, or because they haven't really ever started looking for the lost princess. But the Baal Tshuva have all been looking for the lost princess. But everybody knows how terribly disheartening it is that after the initial excitement of leaving Mitzrayim, when you thought you're going to come straight to Eretz Yisrael, you find yourself in a midbar mamash. You hold davenings without chiyus. I can't believe it. I was so excited. Davening meant so much to me. Every Shabbos was a thrill. I went to this house and that house, and I went to shiurim, and I took upon myself this mitzvah and that mitzvah, and everything was so exciting. And then all of a sudden, the person finds himself in a Yiddishkeit that is as dry and as desolate as Midbar Sinai. Mamash. It could even reach a point where Sinai becomes Sinai, which, you know, the Chazal make a play on those two words, even though it's a Samach and a Sin, which are interchangeable. It could even come to a point where a person feels, I can't believe I got myself into this. And it's not just talking about a person who wasn't Fum and becomes Fum, but there it's easier to explain. But it has to do with a person who was trying to be a Baal Madrega. But then the person finds himself in the desert. It's mamish dry. You have this with all different things in life. So we understand even in Gashmias, when people get married, so such a chiyus, Yitzias Mitzrayim, might see a chidim, but Chazal being such a lashon, Yitzias Mitzrayim, they get married, so now they left the narrow confines of childhood and of adolescence and the house in which they grew up, and now they're going out into the world, and it's gewaldig, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So they think they're going to come to Yerushalayim. Come to Yerushalayim. First there's a, used to be now in the ways, but it used to be, first there's a one-bedroom apartment in Forest Hills, Kaitam Ko. And you were married, you're talking about Aliyah, oh, we're all going on Aliyah. Every one of us, you think there wouldn't be a Yid left in America by this time. Every one of us, we're going to go, wow, we're going to go, all right. You have to stay for, you have to finish school, you have to stay a little bit, and it's already many, many years later. And so we're going to go straight to Eretz Yisrael. So we didn't go straight to Eretz Yisrael. First you stop off in Forest Hills or Kew Garden Hills or in Flatbush or in Far Rockaway. One of the stopovers. And the person's marriage that began with such a chiyus, it goes through a midbar, it goes through without chiyus, dry like a desert. Not with the chiyus that it had. Same thing with having, when a child is born. We spoke about it a little bit on Shabbos. And then afterwards, after leaving the Mitzrayim, you come to Midbar. But the Midbar, you know, is the Bechina, is the quality of Malchus. As I said at the beginning, the Midbar means a feeling of Leis Lamegame Klum. I don't have anything. I'm unworthy, I don't have anything of my own. The Ikar Avayd of a person, this is connected to all that we're learning now. The Ikar Avayd of a person is, how can I continue to be a good husband and a good wife when I feel nothing, when the heart is dry? How can I continue to get up and go to shul when the heart is dry? How can I continue to give over to my children when I feel like I have nothing in me? And there's no chiyus, there's no... the Aliyas HaMalchus, which the Svarim talk about, which is the tachlis of our lives, to lift up the lowest madrigas, to lift up our lives from mamish, from the desert. That avoida is an avoida of a person persevering through the dryness of the desert, through those dry days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, to keep on trying. To go for a long time through the desert. As Rabbi Nachman will continue and says, to go in the midbar zman rav for a long time without feeling any sipuk satisfaction. Without feeling any sipuk. The Baruch Shalom says about us such a thing that you see that the goyim have a tainus, so the Gemara says, "Now, deserve that Hashem will bring out this, you know, this, give them a mitzvah of sukkah, and then the sun comes out. And when the sun comes out, it's what does it mean? The sun comes out. I mean, you know the Gemara I'm talking about. We've spoken about it, and everybody knows that the goyim have a tainus. How come? You could have brought the mitzvahs upon us. You held the mountain over their heads. We would have also accepted the mitzvahs. No, so Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah sukkah." He's a sukkah, so the goyim also made sukkahs, but then the Baruch Hu took the sun out. Oh, the sun out, he took the sun out strong, minartika, from its covering, and the sun was beating down. And it says in the Gemara that the goyim will give a kick to the sukkah and leave. That means that a goy isn't masik, that avoided that a Jew continues with during the time of a midbar. If my Yiddishkeit gives me chiyus, if my marriage gives me chiyus, if my children give me chiyus, so then I, if I'm an Eretz Yisrael d'ke matzev, so then I'll be an Oved Hashem. But when a person has to go through a midbar, when the sun is hot, meaning that it dries you out, the sun means the inyanim of this world, dries you out, and you lose your chiyus, it sucks out from you the chiyus. Shizafasni Hashem, like it says in Shir Shirim, I've been burned, darkened by the sun. And but Rabbi Nachman is telling us that that's the Ikke Aliyas HaMalchus, and that's what the Torah was given in the Midbar Davke, and that's why we didn't go straight from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael, and no person goes like that, straight from Eretz Yisrael. Straight from Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael. But the Baruch Hashem takes each person through the Midbar. Not only that, but we know through all the stops that we made in the Midbar, which the Svarim talk about. Eilam Asa b'nei Yisrael, all the journeys and all the stops that each Yid has to go through, each of those stops, each of those experiences, because each place in the Midbar is a different Indian, a different trouble, a different type of dryness, a different level of emptiness and desolation, each of the stops in the Midbar. But the klal hadavar of the midbar, the general state of midbarius, is that a person can't see a reason to continue. Can't see a reason to continue because I'm not getting anything out of this. I don't feel any cheshek, any chiyus. Adarabba, I feel that with every effort that I'm making, that I'm being pushed back. A person can dray around in the forest and think that he's walking and he's getting closer and closer and he's draying around because of how it is there with the sun and the sand and everything else. He was making hakafas. We made in the midbus. We thought, you think you're getting close, you're not getting close. You think you're going for 2 weeks and you come back and you see the same flay that you had. I mean, I didn't go anywhere. It's halach ana v'ana. It's dragging around. I didn't even get closer. It could be that I end up after 2 weeks and I only see the flag that was already at far away ahead. So the person feels that they're marching him, that they're pushing him away. Therefore, Ben Achman says the beginning of the journey is in the desert to be able to continue through the desert. And the Ikka the Iker Avaida in the desert is Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemaim, not to be discouraged by that emptiness and by that feeling of loneliness and so on, but to continue, just to continue through the Midbar. And that's why the Baal Tanya spoke about all the tzaddikim and the chassidim have a Kabbalah that the inyan of the Midbar is the ikkar, is the inyan of his baidadus, being by oneself and crying out to Hashem. The Midbar is a very lonely place. And the word Midbar, desert, is the same as the Isis as the word Midaber, speaking. And crying out to Hashem is Baruch. When you're with other people, and when things are going well, and you're with other people, and it's Leibedik, so you're distracted, and you're busy with other things. When a person's in the Midbar, he could either give up hope, or he could become a big medaber, someone who speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the whole Hezbaididus. And that's the inyan of Avraham Avinu, the way from Tom, Leich Lecha Me'atzach, Malcha Me'savicha. Leich Lecha Me'atzach, go away from the busyness, the tumult, all the familiar friends and family and places and things, to go to the Midbar, and to go look for Kavod HaShem in the Midbar, which you see by Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisrael in the parasha. To go out to the Midbar and to try to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davki in the Midbar, and finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davki in that perseverance to continue, although you don't feel it, and then Hashem Baruch Hu reveals himself to you like he did to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was dragging in the Midbar, and to Avraham Avinu when he went Lech Lecha, he had to go leave. That the Baruch Shalom is Megala himself. By Avraham Avinu, when the sun came out, Davkitz Vayeri Elav Hashem. When the Goyim are kicking down their sukkahs, Avraham Avinu meets up with the Kadosh Baruch. Because it was the hottest day. And that's when Avraham Avinu meets up with the Kadosh Baruch, and he hears the Baruch Shalom. He talks to the Baruch Shalom. The Shekhinah appears to him. Davkitz in the Midbar. All of our greatness, Chazal say this, that all of our godless, all of the godless of Klal Yisrael is in the Midbar. Lechtech Achrab in Midbar, all of the godless of the Jewish people is in the Midbar. And that's why there's even a Kabbalah that when Mashiach comes, the Baruch Shalom is going to take us out, the Midbar Ha'amim, to something that's called the desert. And again, we're going to come in from the desert. From that feeling of being deserted and of desertion and so on, and even those Jews who deserted, to go through the Midbar and come back. And the only way to survive in the Midbar is by being a Medaber. There, in the Midbar, a person learns how to speak to Hashem as well. In his own words, despite his fields, there's a lot more to talk about the Midbar, fields and forests. And also, a field is already a place where things already have color. It's very pleasant. A field, there's grass, and there's a couple of trees, and some pears and fruits and things. It's already a little bit Tu B'Shvat in the field. It's not a forest, but a field, already there's some chiyus in that place. But as Rabbi Nachman says over here, it takes a long, long time till a person sees any pears. It takes a long time till there are fruits, and you have to work very, very hard in the fields. Shlomo HaMelech compared our lives to working hard in the field. And we see that all of Shabbos and the whole Seder of our lives, even though nowadays we're very far from, you know, agriculture stuff, that we're not raised in such a way. Maybe some people grew up like that. Mostly we're raised, most of us were probably raised in, you know, with fire hydrants and buildings and stuff, houses, not in the fields. But here the Torah says, and there's the whole inyan of Tu B'Shvat. But the Torah itself says, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodah. Man is like the tree of the field. The Torah says that in Devarim. Ki adam es hasod. So once on a sofa, a very simple and beautiful machshava that when you look at a tree, it's a big old tree. When you look at the tree, so the tree appears to us as something which, is frozen, meaning it's still. Even when we look at it in its prime, we look at it with the branches and the leaves and the fruits, still we don't see that it really has much of a life. Only as much as we could take fruit from it or sit in its shade, but the tree itself is not exactly our idea of an exciting life. It doesn't sound exciting to be a tree. Some would say, what do you think, would it be nice to be a tree? There's not much going on. To be a tree doesn't sound very exciting. And it seems that the tree, from the time that it grew into this tree, in the beginning it had a little bit of excitement because it was growing and stuff like that. But then once it already became a full-grown tree, so when you look at it, it seems to be the embodiment of lifelessness or of boredom and emptiness and so on. And the Torah says, Ki ha'odim eitz asod. This sefer, it says, it explains, now just bekitzer, it was a longer Torah, but just bekitzer, the sefer, it explains that there's a pillar with a tree. I think I remember somebody explaining to this like once when we were little in camp or something. I don't remember how it goes, how it works. But if you cut the tree open, and you look at the rings, I don't know what it's called. There must be, maybe there's a fancy word for it. I don't know. Rings?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you look at the rings of the tree. So a person who's a maven can tell not only how old the tree is. I think in a very meduyedik way. Again, I don't know any of these things scientifically, but I think that I remember hearing that you could tell, I don't know if to the year, but very close to the age of a tree. It can be determined by the rings of a tree that are inside when you cut it open. Not only that, but the different shades, lightness and darkness of the rings. Again, I didn't check this. I know that if my wife were giving this, was saying this over, she would have been already in the library for 2 weeks researching trees. She's very good about that. I'm very lazy. But the different colors and the different shades of light and dark and so on could also tell you something about whether the tree was a shchuna gshuma that year, was a shchuna gshuma, was dry, it was a good year, it was a bad year, it was a shlechti, you know, how things went in the stock market for the tree and how things went with the children that year. It shows up in the tree. It shows up in those rings. The rings, for people who are mevinim, they could look at those rings and they see a whole life that you would never know. When you look at the tree, you think that there's nothing doing in this tree's life. There's no life. It's just it's like a fixture in the world. You come there when you're 5 years old, you come back when you're 10 years old, you come back when you're 50, when you're 120, and to you, it's all the same. The tree never changed. But then when you open up and you look inside, so it's a pella. What's misgala, what's revealed by looking inside and seeing the rings, is that there's a whole secret life that this tree had, of good years and bad years, of joy and of sadness, of good experiences and bad experiences, of rain and of chias and of dryness, and all of that you never ever would have known. But you see, that it mamish never stopped growing. Through thick and thin, through all those years, it never stopped growing, it never missed any of the experiences of life, whether good or bad. It lived through them and it survived through them. So there was a yid that came to the Chiddush Ha'arim. One of the chassidim came to Chiddush Ha'arim, and he was complaining to the rabbi that he doesn't feel anything in his davening and his learning. He doesn't feel any chiz in his Yiddishkeit. And the rabbi told him that, you know, there's an expression that a person has to work hard in this world. Kishor la'ol v'kachamor l'maso. Like a shor, like an ox that carries, it schleps, and a kachamor, and a donkey that has to carry its burden. And the Chiddushim asked this chassid, do you know what that means? What does it mean, kishor la'ol v'kachamor l'maso? So whenever a tzaddik asks you to know what something means, you should always say no. Just always say no. So he said no. And what does it mean? Kesher la'ol, kechama la'masa. So the Chiddushim said that there was once a chamor, there was a donkey, and it was given a job. That it was in those days, in the old days, there was a certain kind of a mill, that it had to turn this big thing, so the water, this would make that the water would irrigate the field. It would turn the thing. I know I'm getting very technologically complicated for all of you, and this is very hard to understand, but there was such a thing that it would turn a certain wheel, and this would make the water go, and it would irrigate the fields. So Chiddushim said, so this donkey was doing this for a long time, for years. Like this, he's going to push. Mela, when he was younger, they used to put on him to schlep. The Chiddushim said he would take wood to some amana's house, right? She needed to make a fire. So the chamor said, it wasn't a bad day. I carried some wood to this almana. She was able to have something to eat, a warm soup, and to have some warmth in the house. It was a good day. And the chamor is thinking, and then, you know, when I was the donkey's thinking, then there were other times that I had to carry building supplies. Even though it's a shibud, and, you know, it's hard. But the chamor had the satisfaction over years watching, you know, that, and then he would see the building, the chamor, and I felt like I was, at least, even though my life was hard, but there's a tachlis to my life. The Chiddushim said that one day, so now the chamor doesn't have that anymore. And the chamor is just going, he's going like this, he's drawing like this, making hakafis. There's no anything. He's pushing a piece of wood or something, and there's nothing. And the guy, they just give him a clap, and he goes, nothing. So the Chiddushim says that the donkey all of a sudden says, I had enough of this. Like they say in Israel, shvita. That means strike. I'm done. And the donkey can be very stubborn, can't do it. That has a midah of stubbornness. Says, I'm not going. And the clap and the hack and the gate. I'm not going. I'm done. There's no tachlis. There's nothing that's happening. I don't feel any tachlis in what I'm doing. You're asking me to make circles. Again, I get up every morning and I'm pushing this thing. So donkey says, every single morning, Chiddushim says, I get up and I put the same boxes and the straps and I say these words and then I do this and I put this and I do that and I then comes Nachamal to this brach and that mitzvah and this. I don't feel anything. So the Chiddushim said, that's the meaning of Kishor la'ol v'kachamar l'masa. Like the ox and the donkey. Don't think the Chiddushim says that it means like the animals that see the buildings go up and that are schlepping firewood to a poor person and that have that satisfaction. But kechamer lamasa means like a chamer that does what it's supposed to do. It does what it's supposed to do. Even though it doesn't feel the satisfaction of the Peiris. But if we would show, the Chiddush says, if we would show that animal, if we show the Behema, what afterwards we take and we show that he was irrigating, from him came the irrigation of this beautiful orchard, that from this orchard there were 10, 15, 20 years, Peiris, all kinds of towns and villages eating, and everybody's living off of this schlepper. That he's going, making hakafis, pushing something. Again, getting up, nacha shachas, nacha minchem harav, and a broch, and a benching, and so on. So Chiddushim says that every single sivuv, every circle that the donkey made was giving life, mamish. I mean, the fact that the donkey is sof kol sof, he's a chamor. And a chamor means he doesn't understand. He's very much connected to Chaimer, to this world. And he doesn't appreciate what's Tillin, what's Tzitzis, what's a Shabbos, what's a Yontiv, what's a Tikkun Hamidus. He doesn't feel the satisfaction because he doesn't understand. If the Chamor would understand, if he would learn more and think more, he would realize that with every Hakafah he's making, he's giving life to people in the world. But that's what it means. Kishar la ol v'kacham la masa. The Chiddushim says he doesn't understand. Therefore, the job of the chamor, of the donkey, is la leches ane v'ane, to go weiter, and to believe be'emuna shleima that in some mysterious, amazing way, there's a lot of payers. In this field, there's some field far away. I don't see it with my eyes. I'm all the way here somewhere on the other end, and to me, crossing over the midbar into the field, I don't see. But I'm pushing and going, and I don't see. But Chiddushim said to this yid, whatever, Yankel, you just keep on making the hakafas. And I'm telling you that there are magnificent fields and forests that you've been cultivating and nourishing and with beautiful colors and foods and all kinds of things is giving chias to all worlds. And at the end, if you don't make a shvita, and if you get up from your little shvita, you know, we all have our little shvitas, right? So if you know every now and then you feel like you don't have a kai, so you sleep in a little bit, whatever it is. Yeah, everybody has a little shvita. But then, you know how it is nights to sell. So everybody complains and cracks and they yell and they fight and they're screaming at each other. But then you get up and you go back. And you get up and you go back. So all of us go through our little shvitot. And we go through that and we were on strike. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not getting paid. That's what it means. Right? If you're not getting paid, you go on shvita. So I'm not getting paid. What do you want for payment? I'm not asking for any money. I'm just asking, give me some chias for my davening. Give me some pleasure for my Yiddishkeit. Something. So, the person goes, shvita. And then the Baruch Shalom says, well, shvita. And then he just gives a crash and he gets up. And hopefully he pulls himself up. That's what it means, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Keshor La'ol V'Kacham L'Masa. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim means, okay, you gave a krechs, you took a day off from something, but then you get back up and you put it on your shoulders and you keep on pushing. Even though it's hard, you keep on pushing. V'Sofas Chalava, in the end, to believe that there's unbelievable, not that that's why you're doing, but to know that there's unbelievable things that are payers and payers that are coming from that work. So that's the Sada. The Midbar, the Sada, the fields, until you see payers. It takes a long time. Rav Nachum says that a long time until you see payers. And you have to work very hard in the field. And you have to push and you have to schlep. Until you see some payers, it's hard work. We spoke about it on Shabbos a little bit, the Caribs, the Charuvim. You feel that which takes 70 years till you see any pears. You plant the carobs, the boxer, it takes 70 years till you see something, till you taste something. And even then, when you try to taste it, you say, what kind of fruit is this? As your teeth fall on the table, you ask, what is this? This is what I was for 70 years. Because it takes 70 years to grow. So you say, oh, this is going to be like, who knows, but this is going to be gewaldic. And then, that was my malacha. 70 years I planted this, and so I could have more dental work, and it doesn't taste like what cheluvim. Everything you put in comes out by the children, by the eniklach comes out, all the payers that you might not even taste it in your lifetime. If the person leaves the world, but the children, the grandchildren, the great grandchildren, payers, they taste the that which was produced by the chamor making its hakafis, not knowing what am I doing. And we see the grandchildren of those Jews who stopped making the hakafis. We see their grandchildren, Hashem Yirachem, those that are Jewish and those that are not Jewish, from the ones who stopped making the hakafis, then the Hashem Yirachem, we see what the payers are. And then finally, the forests. It's a very, very big Indian. In Rabbi Nachman's stories, forests are very important in Rabbi Nachman's stories. But the Svarim say that the forest means already the world of the tzaddik. Dense with life. Not understood, scary, mysterious, the tzaddik. Filled with all kinds of things, mamish. And here the tzaddikim explain that even the tzaddik has to go through a different kind of nisayin. The nisayin of the tzaddik is not to be satisfied. The nisayin of the tzaddik is that he sees the forest that he's produced. He sees all that he's accomplished. And it would be very easy for him to say, look how much I learned, look how much I know, look what I've done in the world, look how many people I was affecting, and so on and so forth. All of that, it would be very, very easy to say such a thing. I don't have to search anymore. My journey has ended. I'm here. I made it. I'm done. So I don't have to continue going. That's the nisayin that we learned about, that a person says, Baki Barata, Baki Bashaiv, that even when you're in the high place, that the person has to continue to know that there's more, it never ends. And that means that even in that highest place, you have to still feel the malchus of the midbar, of not having, of still more, there's no end. And even in the Torah mitzvahs, even in all the trees and the fruits that he's brought to the world, to remember, Why did I do all this learning? Is my learning completely L'Shem Shemayim? All my mitzvahs L'Shem Shemayim? That I'm a carve of the Yidden, am I always doing that L'Shem Shemayim? To be covered to the King, is it for myself, to get something out of it? Why am I Shem Shabbos? For who am I Shem Shabbos? For whom am I doing this mitzvah? So even in the trees that I have, and in the forest, it's filled with everything, but to go deeper and deeper and thicker and thicker and thicker in that world, more and more, to be searching, that when I already have a forest that's filled with all of this, that I don't stop. That the person doesn't stop, that tzaddik not to stop, and to feel like he's back in the midbar, and in the forest. And that's the need of being Baki Berotz or Baki B'Shoiv. What we'll continue with next time is this amazing, amazing little sentence that finally, while traveling, he searched for a very long time, finally while traveling through the desert, he saw a path to the side. That's what we're going to talk about, Mr. Shem, next week. What does it mean? A path to the side. Shvil min hatzad. It's a little path. Rabbi Nachman said he found a path to the side, and that was the beginning of the Yeshua. But through the side. He found a path through the side. So, Baz Hashem, we'll continue with our journey next week. Freilichem tu b'shav.